Thank you very much, Connie. After that wonderful introduction, I think I need 10 more pages of notes. Well, this is a Science of Mind study group, and the essence of Science of Mind is using our mind, using the power of our thought to create our present-day experience. And one of the tools that we teach is affirmative prayer. And the other name for affirmative prayer is spiritual mind treatment. And spiritual mind treatment, depending which church you learn it in and which teacher you have, can have 1 step, 3 steps, 5 steps, 7 steps. And I was taught the 5-step program, and that's what I teach because that's what I know. And Connie opened up this series of talking very very eruditely with about step one. And then Gail followed her with step two, and they went into great detail. So it's my job to just review those 2 steps in case any of you weren't here. Now, sit back because to review what Connie said and review what Gail said, and it could take me an hour or so, to get you up to speed on that. But I have promised myself I'll be brief, so I've condensed everything into 1 or 2 sentences. So the first step of affirmative prayer is God is all there is. God is the creative energy of the universe, and that's all there is. That's it for step one. Yay. Did I cover what you said, Connie? Step two. God expresses as me. If God is all there is, then God is the creator. God made me and made me out of itself because there is nothing else. So that makes me God in expression, or another way of putting it is an individualized point of creative power. I kind of like that one. An individualized focus of creative power. So I'm that focus point in my own life. And then when we come to step three, it's putting those 2 steps into practice and building on them. And I've written some words down for step three. Step three is, this was just a gimmick. There's no way I can use notes on a telephone. However, I will give you the URL for the site, which has some beautiful treatments on it, if you want some to take away with you, an explanation of each step of treatment and some examples. There's one particular church in here that has lovely treatments in it, and I'll give you that later. I'm not giving it you now because you'll be all booting up or something while I'm talking. But step three is about putting into practice that which we know. It's about using the creative power of the universe in our own individual lives. And what we bring to step three is our own individual consciousness, our understanding and our absorption of the spiritual principles that are relevant. Step three is about taking a spiritual principle and affirming, well, first of all, you got to know it, and then you affirm that that is so in your own life. And there's a statement that says, treatment always works. And every now and again, when you're treating for either yourself or someone else, nothing seems to happen. And you say to yourself, but treatment always works, so why is nothing happening? Well, there were a couple of people in my life who were treating for particular jobs. And I I'm doing everything I know. No, the report was always the same. No job. And then someone said to me, maybe you're treating for the wrong thing. And that's critically important, because sometimes we think we're treating for A, and what we really need to treat for in order to have A is B. And in this case, what these two people needed to treat for was that they were worthy of having the perfect job that they wanted. That they were worthy. And I just got an email just a few days ago from someone I've been treating for on and off for about 2 months. And she suddenly made that switch herself. I actually didn't make it for her. She made it herself and found that as soon as she made that switch and started treating and knowing for herself that she was worthy of the perfect job, it was offered to her. And I had an example in my own life just the other day where it is crucial to be clear about what you're treating for. And I had a sad occasion happen, but good has already come from it. My 18-year-old traveling companion with four legs and a tail and two pointed ears came to the end of her life. And on the last day, what I wanted for her, I knew what I wanted. I wanted her to have a natural, peaceful death. She was old. I got that it was her time to go, and I wanted her to go peacefully. But she'd been in this space of dying for 5 days, and I wasn't sure how much longer I could watch her and support her and know that I was doing the right thing. A friend called me, and all it takes when you're in a situation like that is just a few words of kindness, and it breaks you totally apart. And I'm just sobbing on the phone, and I said, I know what I want for her. I want her to go peacefully, and I don't want it to take forever for her sake. And I said, but I don't know how to treat. I just don't know how to treat. And she didn't even say, well, do you want me to treat? She just started treating, and she was clear. She was clear. And I was in a coffee shop at the time, and the tears were streaming down. I'm listening to this treatment. And when she finished, I got up and I went to check on Tiger Lady, and she'd gone. Because that person was so clear on what was needed. And that's why we have in Science of Mind practitioners, ministers, because sometimes you know all this stuff. You know the 5 steps of treatment, forward, sideways, and backward. But when it comes to your own life and your own concerns, you're a little foggy over what you should be treating for. And in that case, I got to see while I was sitting over here thinking, shall I take her to the vets? But no, she doesn't like the vet. That'll be a horrible way for her to go. No, I shouldn't take. But how long can I let this go on? My friend just kept treating and treating and treating, and it was done. It was done. She just very peacefully in her sleep made the transition. And I was so, so grateful that Marilyn, and she was one of my students, so it was very, very lovely, that she had the clarity to see what was needed. Now, we don't always have someone available to for us to run by. Am I treating for the right thing? What should I treat for here? So what I think is crucially important is that we build for ourselves a foundation of faith. And the faith is in these two first steps, that God is all there is. And God is expressing as me. God is pure spirit. If we have that foundation of faith, then when something happens, we've got a beginning place to know where to treat from and to know what to affirm for in our own life. Connie put it in perspective We had a little burial ceremony yesterday and buried Tiger Lady in a beautiful wooded space. And I had gotten this box, and it was a white box, and I decided to write on it. So I wrote my last message to her. Mm-hmm. And then the other two people that were present, they wrote on it too. And then they said, "No, Reverend Hillary, we're going to be the pallbearers." This whole thing got rather formalized, so we're marching into the woods, and I'm thinking, well, do I walk ahead as a minister or behind as family? You know, I didn't quite know what I was supposed to do here. But then I can't think of the context you said it, but I think it was Connie, and it might have been someone else on Facebook, reminded me that the body is gone, but she's pure spirit. And I actually said that in the committal ceremony. We release your body unto the earth and your spirit to the universe. But several people reminded me that because she was pure spirit, and that's what we all are, that she's not gone from me. She's not gone anywhere. She's just changed her form. And we get to relate a little differently. Now I look like I'm talking to myself, but I'm really talking to pure spirit. Good morning, Tiger Lady. And think, I'm glad there's no one here listening. But I have got that bedrock foundation of faith. I know with every cell in my body that God is all there is. I know that I'm an expression of that one. And so if there's something in my life that needs to be affirmed, I build it on those two steps. Let's take, for example, financial well-being. I always like that one. It's a good one because it's visible and demonstrable. And people say to me, Well, can we tithe to Evensong? And I said, if you feel so led, you can. It's not required, but you can. And I said, I'm very, very clear that Evensong is not my source, that God is my source. Because, see, if God is all there is, God is the source of all the financial well-being, all the source of love, and peace, and joy, and happiness, and any other good word you can throw in there. God is the source of everything. And if I know that through every cell in my body, then I don't have to question financial well-being. I don't have to question happiness. I don't have to question peace and joy, because it's all within me. It's all within me, and it's all around me, and it's moving in and out and through, and it's what I'm made of and what I have. So I can rest on that knowing. And so I can do the third step of treatment, which is where you state for yourself what you want to have, what you want to be, what you want to know, what you want to feel, what you want to see, what you want to accept, what you want to understand. Not all of those things in each prayer, but whatever fits the bill. And and you just pick one. And it's like acceptance. When I got the message that, and when I knew that Tiger Lady was dying, I accepted it. And then I asked myself, how can I best support this supporter? And the answer came to me, give her a nice comfortable place to be, tell her you love her, pet her very gently, keep the heat up, and just give her space and peace, which is what I did. But after 5 days of that, I started questioning myself. That's why my friend had to jump in and do a treatment for me at the end there. You might have a different need in your life. It might be a problem or a challenge in your life, and you need wisdom. Well, if God is all there is, and God is expressing as me, then the wisdom's right here. The wisdom's right there. And just remember that. And you can call upon it. You can affirm it for yourself. You can know you have it. And know it's revealing itself, that whatever you need to know or do is revealing itself to you. Whatever bowl you need to play next is revealing itself to you. I'm going to see if I can... I'll put my glasses on because I don't know if I can read this. This is a summary. With science of mind, we move into the consciousness. And with step three, of knowing and seeing ourselves as perfect, we are not subject to our old patterns of thought and belief, but aware there is a divine pattern already existing within. So there's a saying in Science of Mind that, what is it? Something isn't... What about precedent? What's that saying? You must know it. Principle is not proved by precedent. In other words, what has gone before has no relevance here. We're dealing in the here and now. So if you're doing step three for yourself, and say you're treating for a perfect relationship, and you're affirming that that's available to you, and then your mind clicks in and says, I've been doing this treatment for 3 years, and all I've met are geeks, or whatever word you want to come up with. Your job is to not listen to that voice. That voice is just running interference. And go back to remembering that that just because that's been your past experience doesn't mean it has to be your present experience. I'm going to take a breath here because I think John probably has something he wants to observe at this point.
Thank you, Reverend Hillary. The thing that most resonates with me is being able to establish the spiritual truth within ourselves. Without that as a foundation, the rest of the work may not be possible. And I say may not because this is all very speculative. Everyone is going to take these terms and possibly rephrase them within their understanding. Using different vocabulary sometimes is helpful. And so unless I know that God is all the source, is the only source, is that all there is, and unless I accept that I am an expression of that, then what I want next will not be possible. So for myself, speaking only for myself, I am regularly going through all the steps. And this might be true of us in other belief systems too, that always come back to these basic principles. For example, if we sit to meditate, we always have to go for the breath, the stillness, vertical position of the spine. And unless we do those basic things, the rest is not going to happen. It just ain't going to be there. And it harks back to an experience I had when I started my own spiritual path unintentionally. The passing of my mother when I was 24 and she was 48. And I sat in church. We had just been informed she wasn't going to make it. They tried everything, and she wasn't going to make it. So I prayed. And unknowingly, the Isaiah effect was manifesting in me. And I visualized my mother making a clean transition. Please don't make her suffer, was my fervent, fervent prayer and wish. And I felt, I don't share this with a lot of people. Maybe I've shared it one other time with a group, but I felt an acknowledgement from the divine. I felt that the entity was nodding in a positive way. I felt a nod inside me. And this was Holy Week. Well, she went into a coma on Good Friday, and then she made her transition on Easter Sunday. So for a Catholic family, that was heavy duty. That was big stuff. Big, big. Well, it showed me that was a beginning, and it planted a seed in me that I needed to look for this. I needed to find out some corroboration from old, old teachings. So that's how I started with some of this stuff. Am I a huge success or an example? I don't know. Don't ask me that. But I do know that I always have to start with step one, step two, step three. And I've used some of this work for myself. When I was 47, I finished a master's degree on the classical guitar, which some of you heard me play. And whether or not I've earned the master's, that's for you to decide. But the point being that we can visualize and believe anything within the realm of human possibility, and we can make it happen. We can make it happen. You probably have your own successes as well, most likely. And the assurance is, when it happens, just the way we visualize it. We want to be clear with what we are able to do, that first. I would not have made the grade if I had not prepared. So it's, you know, it's the success, sure, but it's also 3 or 4 hours a day for 10 years to practice something, to be ready. So once we are ready with that goal, visualizing the goal with these steps, first three steps, is going to get it done. Meaning that we want to earn what we have and believe and be sure of ourselves. And then it's going to happen with our belief.
When I was teaching practitioner class, Gail isn't here, so I can share this little anecdote. I had Gail and William in a practitioner class, and Gail would ask a question. Now, Gail is, she was very much more right brain than I was at that time, I think. And she would ask a question, and I would bend over backwards to answer it. And the light never went on. You could tell it wasn't working. And then William would say, very quietly, he'd rephrase what I'd said, and you'd see the light bulb go on. Well, I have that same experience with John. I'm sitting here thinking, why didn't I say it like that? I mean, he said it in a different way, and it was very, very clear. So that it's just a real treat when someone does that, because I get the gift too. I really covered my ground. If there are any questions, I'll entertain questions at this point. We'll both entertain questions.
Good. Let us entertain you.
Entertain questions. It means you come in the middle and do a dance, and we ask you what your question is.
My real question.
Okay.
So it seems like what you're saying is the most important thing in treatment, aside from faith and all that, is knowing what to treat for. Did I get it right?
Well, it's one of the very important things, because if you're confused about what you treat for, you'll get a confused result. That the universe gives us back what we ask for, and if we're not clear, it'll give us back some options that maybe reflect that we weren't clear.
That answers it.
Okay.
Yeah.
May I?
Yes.
You know, the idea of these teachings is really very old. You can look back in ancient history. And I mentioned the Isaiah effect. There's actually a book by that title, The Isaiah Effect. And in the book of Isaiah, which I have not read in its entirety, I'm not a big Bible person, but when I hear and or see or read a reference to the Bible, I go there and I look for it myself. But the Isaiah effect is that we want to feel the appropriate emotions in what we ask for. And that links together with our belief. Do we really believe that we deserve it? And that's a big issue too. Am I ready to receive this thing? Also implying the readiness to treat for what we want. So the emotional involvement is very important. So unless we are settling deep inside and really feeling the right emotions, maybe it's a career path you're advancing for yourself. Maybe it is personal finances. You know, the economy is a big issue. I don't believe that that's the biggest issue. Don't worry about money. There's always money. If you run out of money, just go out and get some more money. And it's going to be there. I don't have any money. That's why I don't worry about it. But I have instruments, I guess. But the point being that what we want has to be really clear. You know, my big thing is harmony and world peace. So if I want harmony in my friends, I visualize for the highest possible thing And to me, that's a harmonious planet. But without getting very focused on a personal thing, we want to believe and feel the right emotions when we're visualizing, when we're realizing the goals that we want.
You know, another way of putting that, John, is we need to have within us the mental equivalent of that which we wish to manifest and experience in our life. And we need to be able to be clear about that mental equivalent and feel it and know how it will feel and look and those kind of things if we get what we're treating for. And we need to be to be consistent too. We need to be consistent in our treatment work that we are affirming what we want and not go and negate it in the very next breath. Sometimes you might have a friend that way who asks you to treat for selling her house. And you do a wonderful treatment. You're feeling like, boy, the people are marching up the driveway right now. And as soon as you stop doing the treatment, she's saying, oh, but you know the economy's bad. And, you know, there's a whole long list of reasons why that's not going to happen. And you've got to educate yourself to be, to live in the positive of what you want. Treatment is always first person, present tense, and positive. It's I am right now, and it's always positive. It's not what you don't want. Oh, God, don't send the rain. Oh, pass the umbrella. So, mental equivalent. If you have a textbook, the Science of Mind textbook, it's chapter 17. And after 30 minutes, that brings me to the end of my summary of Gail's presentation last week. Phew. I just got finished before she came in. Any more questions or observations or sharing of a relevant nature? That was just a joke, Gail. And one thing that's been given a bad rap, I think, is live as if. You know what you want to affirm in your life. You treat for it. You have the mental equivalent. Now live as if you've got it right now. That's a very helpful thing to do.
May I offer something? The idea of the negative thought, which you touched upon, is important. The mind is not going to absorb a negative suggestion. As an example, suppose I grind my teeth at night. I'm not going to say to myself, I won't grind my teeth. My brain doesn't understand that. But I can say, I will relax my jaw. I will feel a porous, translucent quality through my jaw muscles. That I can absorb. So the positive statement is better. Otherwise, we might just be sitting there worrying instead of constructive work. And that doesn't cut it. Your mind will not be moving forward unless we release the worry and replace it with a positive statement. Positive statements the mind will absorb.
How do you do that if you can't make your mind, like, you could sit there and say all this stuff to yourself, but then if deep down you don't believe it, then how do you make yourself let go of all that negative stuff? Because I've been beating myself up my whole life, and I don't know how to let go of all that. And, you know, I want to think there's something better out there that's supposed to be taking care of us, but somewhere inside I don't think I believe it, so that's probably why I come. And I'm just real upset today because my cat's really sick too. Mm. And so I feel for that, you know, I'm scared for her and I'm trying to, you know, think of only positive stuff for her, but I'm just scared, you know.
All of us have.
I'm so negative, I don't know how to let go.
Sometimes those powerful thoughts are going to overtake us, you know. It's not only you, it's a lot of people present here and a lot of those other people out in the world too.
a lot of us are living in fear when we don't have to. We have to replace that fear with something that is stronger. Something that is stronger. We all made it here today. That was a big, big step. Sometimes people have the hardest time getting out of the house or going to buy something nice for ourselves. My goodness, sometimes the human condition is so overpowered with fear. So we have to pick something that's going to be stronger than the fear in the moment. And we do it in little increments. Little increments. So what's the first thing I can do for myself that's going to be good? Maybe when I leave here, I'm going to promise myself to do something positive, something that's going to be good for me. So maybe I'll stop in one of the big stores here and buy a neckerchief. Or maybe I'm going to stop and buy myself a special meal. And don't worry about the guilt things. There's no room for guilt when we're being good for ourselves. If you want a candy bar, go ahead and have a freaking candy bar and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it because it's something that is good for you. And you can process gradually what is going to be better than the candy bar, better than the meal, better than the neckerchief. But we have to start with one step at a time. And just speaking for myself, when I feel thoughts coming into my meditations, I just say to myself, I see this thought coming through, I watch it pass by, and now I come back to my focus. I let it go, come back to focus. And you might do that at first, you might do that 100 times a minute, until your mind starts to feel that the thoughts are like a turning wheel. They're just going by, and you don't have to put any value to them, you don't have to give them importance. Like cars on the street, like people passing by in the mall, you just let them go, and you see your purpose. You see your purpose stronger than the fear. Stronger than the fear. And this is just my point of view, that you can construct your own truth based on the truth that you get from the divine. You structure your own. Am I fearful? Oh yeah, you bet. But I replace it as I can. You know, we have powerful tools here. Enormously powerful tools. These tools are how bridges and buildings get built, how we get better and better leaders to help us in society, how we acquire all the physical possessions that we have. Those come from the positive actions, not from the fears. So when we look inside ourselves, every person here has enormous successes. Just look at this, enormous things that we've done because of the positive thoughts we've had. So we just ride on those successes now. If something fearful comes up, you say, how can I replace this fear with something in my own toolbox that is more powerful than the fear? What can I do to replace that? Great.
Yeah, I was always taught that subjective mind doesn't reason, and if you say a negative, I don't want to be poor, all it hears is poor. It doesn't hear the negation. So that's why it's so crucial to express everything in its positive form, so that your imagination can get the picture of the positive form, which is exactly what Mary Rose just said. I affirm my life is affluent or whatever, and your mind gets the picture of that. In any contest between the imagination and the will, the imagination always wins. So put the stuff in a form in your mind that your imagination can use. Put the positive in. One thing I don't think I mentioned is when you're doing step one, and this is this. I'm sorry. What is your name again?
Sue.
Okay. This is valuable for you if you're having trouble or if you're challenged about really believing something. In the step one, where you say God is all there is, also affirm that must include, therefore, whatever it is you want. Do you want more love, more joy, more peace? Say you want peace in your life. then God is all there is. God is all the peace there is. And then as you go on to step two, it's a logical progression. If God is all the peace there is, and I am created out of that, then my life, I have that peace within me. It's a logical thing. So always in that step one, use the quality of God that you want to demonstrate in your life. If it's well-being, financial prosperity, God is the source of all well-being. God is my source. And then you're coming from a very sound foundation. And see, what these steps do is they convince your mind. What you're doing is you're convincing yourself. That's why we have the steps. We could just do step three without steps one and two, but if you didn't believe steps one and two, three would be useless. So, and by the same token, if you so internalize step one and step two, then you might just jump in straight at step three. I didn't really listen to the structure of the treatment that Marilyn did for me on the phone. I think she went around the houses in the park, but she got it all in. And I wasn't paying attention to the structure because I know her faith is very strong. And I wasn't evaluating. I was just absorbing what was relevant for me. So you'll get stronger. And you'll develop. I've got a good friend, and the only thing she she came to my first church, and I swear the only thing she learned was that there is no spot where God is not. It's the only thing she could remember to quote me. But that stood her in great stead in a lot of difficult situations in her life. She would say it to herself, there's no spot where God is not. So find some kind of affirmation that works for you and affirm it and keep on affirming it until you get it, because you will, because we all get it sooner or later. Gail.
One thing that helps me out.
Speak up, because I have a challenge hearing your soft, melodic tones. Okay, before we break, let me just give everyone a heads up on this. If you Google spiritual mind treatment, you will come to a list of spiritual mind treatments. If you go down, I don't know, it's several, four, five, or six or something, to the treatments put out by the Asheville Church, there's the first part is the five steps of treatment, very clearly stated. And then underneath, they have taken topics. And different practitioners have written a treatment for a specific topic. And they're very, very good. I can recommend that if you want some good examples, check out that website. Because it's easy and it's free. And it's very, very high quality. Okay, now we can finish.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Hillary.